check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Should you ever set foot outside of the hotel, you will be shot.
Don't miss the new Showtime limited series based on the international bestseller.
For the last 4 years, I've been a prisoner.
Why are they keeping you here?
Starring Emmy Award winner Ewan McGregor.
This is the brave new world that you dreamt of.
Be very careful. You are still a prisoner here.
Everything in this new world comes at cost.
This is still my country.
A Gentleman in Moscow. Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Only with the Paramount Plus with Showtime plan.
Hey, everyone, and welcome into Attacking Third, a CBS Sports Soccer podcast. I'm Sandra Herrera, lead NWSL writer for CBS Sports. Joined today, as always, by my colleague and co-host, Lisa Roman, broadcaster and analyst for CBS Sports. On today's show, we're chatting a little bit of news and notes. We're going to touch on some things we didn't get the opportunity to touch on. We're also going to do a preview of the Challenge Cup, and we've got a World Cup stockwatch that we want to go through that we're really excited about because there's nothing better than talking about trends. So we'll talk about that very, very soon. But a quick reminder to subscribe to us on YouTube, also as a podcast. So follow, like, and download so that you never miss out on a single episode. Lisa, we're back at it. How you doing this morning?
I am good to be here. Happy to be here with everyone. Thanks for joining us live on YouTube. If you didn't and you wanted to, hit subscribe, because then as soon as we go live and we start chit-chatting here, you get an alert and then you can log on to YouTube and join us. So thanks for those that are trickling in right now. It's good to be here. Good to be chatting about it. There's a lot of news we got to run through, but it's Sandra. 65 days until the 2023 Women's World Cup kicks off in Australia and New Zealand. We are starting the immense buildup here at Attacking Third because there is so much to talk about. There are so many previews to go through and nations and teams, and we're going to get rosters in a couple weeks. It is such an exciting time in women's football, and it starts today at Attacking Third, 65 days until the World Cup. We're ready to talk about it. And of course, a little bit of Challenge Cup action thrown in there as well.
we're counting it down. We're ever so close. We're cutting it real, real close, honestly, if we're looking at the bigger picture of things for the World Cup. So I can't wait to go through that. We're going to save that for, towards the latter end of the episode. So make sure you stick around with us to do the stock watch. But let's touch on some news to sort of kick things off here on the episode. We wanted to talk about some things globally. We didn't get the opportunity to react to them or touch on them. And this is a good time for us to sort of not only play catch up, but get each other's thoughts on these bits of news and get the chat and the thoughts and the on YouTube here. So let's start with Barcelona, because talk about like an up and down kind of pendulum swing here. There was a bit of news where Barcelona's epic 62 game winning streak in La Liga ended by Sevilla. So it was a big thing, because that's an incredible, incredible streak, 62 games. But it was brief. It was brief. It was a real moment where it was just like, wow, that sucks. But it's also like, let's celebrate that. Let's celebrate that incredible run. Unclear on TBD if that sort of streak will ever be touched or matched.
Yeah.
Again, because I mean, my God, that is an incredibly long streak. But no time for tears, because they had to go and win the league, and they went ahead and they done that just shortly after that little hurdle. But I mean, you know what it means, I think, if you're the opposition as well. I think in that sense, you're also sort of etched in Spanish soccer history, where you could sort of say, hey, maybe we're not contenders for the league title right now, but you know what we did do this season? We ended Barcelona's winning streak.
Yeah, I mean, and when you look at how it happened, right, Sevilla is second half of the table, right? Yeah. in this league, they've struggled to pick up points. They only have 9 wins on the season, whereas Barcelona, 28 wins, that one draw, of course, 117 goals for scored by Barcelona this year. I think for Sevilla, you're for sure excited about that. Cause you're like, yeah, we held them scoreless. No one has been able to do that.
Never was there a happier draw.
Yeah, seriously. But Barcelona does go on to win it anyway. And then they ended up having their giant parade in the streets of Barcelona. Pretty fantastic to see. We've got pictures.
Love that.
If you're joining us live on YouTube. I mean, what a party. How fun is this?
I mean, who wouldn't want to be there? Look at all the players having a good time. Congratulations in order to Barcelona for keeping up the dominance, honestly. And that's not easy either. I think maybe for like neutral fans, like the whole concept of a big threatening team on a ridiculous streak constantly winning, perhaps for the neutral can get kind of repetitive or boring even. Mm-hmm. But I think you got to celebrate this kind of stuff because you don't often, I think, see it in women's sports. And I think when you have a group or a team kind of go on these incredible runs, it's meant to be celebrated. So congrats in order to them. And we wanted to definitely touch on that and react to that for a little bit in Spain. Let's pivot to England, talk about England a little bit. Chelsea winning the FA Cup recently in front of an incredible crowd, 77,339 in the stands. What a scene. World record crowd for a women's domestic match. Emma Hayes dedicating the FA Cup victory to the fans. Sam Kerr with the backflip. A lot of good, again, we're talking about scenes. Really good stuff here for Chelsea.
Yeah, this is like truly incredible to watch how this kind of all played out. For this team and for everything. I mean, I want to talk a little bit about Sandra just for a second, the crowd, because a world record, 77,390 fans in attendance for this final match. Chelsea, Man United, of course it was a good game. Of course there was a lot there to go into it, but don't say that no one watches women's sports. And I mean, we're preaching to the choir on this show because you're obviously here because you're into women's football. But truly fantastic to see that all these people came out and showed up. And I think this is like, we just talked about Barcelona and Barcelona is a team that's headed on to the UEFA Champions League final. Unfortunately, Chelsea not there at this point, but that I think that like, this is the time, like in the months leading up to the World Cup where it's this match for Chelsea in the FA Women's Cup against Manchester United, the UEFA Champions League and, all the NWSL attendances that we're seeing across the board. Like, this is it. Finally, people are showing up and giving the support. And of course, in this match, as you mentioned, Sam Kerr in the 60th minute getting the game winner, the celebration of a backflip. It's fantastic. It was so good to see. I mean, she is just so impressive to watch. It is so, so fun to watch her. And people get to then watch her again at the World Cup with Australia. And that's something pretty cool as well. It's all these like little moments that are building up to this incredible summer of football that we have.
Yeah, that's kind of the energy, right? I think that a lot of us were taking away from the sights and the sounds of an event like that. We were just like, gosh, it's just going to get better like from here on out, especially, you know, I mean, we're talking about Sam Kerr. Australia, one of the home countries, and she's maybe trying to practice, you know, we'll see, maybe she's getting those the backflip practices in before she has to put on a jersey with Matildas and go do some special things there. So we'll definitely keep an eye on it for sure. Let's close out the news segment and pivot to France. Olympique Lyon winning their 10th Coupe de France after defeating Paris Saint-Germain 2-1. We just started this segment talking about Sevilla and the draw that they had with Barcelona, and that just being a very brief moment in time before Barcelona went on to keep winning. And now we've got Lyon, another, maybe we could look at a different country in a different league and say, this is a team that has typically dominated French football for quite some time. Although PSG might have some things to say about that, right? But congratulations to them. 10th Coupe de France.
Yeah, incredible. It really good stuff from these players, a brace from Ada Hedberg for OL to get the win over PSG in this one. So Lindsey Horan, of course, a U.S. international midfielder playing on Lyon and lifting that trophy as well. This is like such a fun time of soccer because like everyone's lifting these trophies. It's the time for celebrations. We saw the parade from Barca and now Lyon gets to join in the celebrations. Really tremendous to see kind of all these things coming together. Really big win for Lyon. I know PSG fans a little bitter in their mouth after that one.
Listen, there's still a couple games left in the league. So Maybe they'll have their say, on that final stamp. They'll need some help. Not only will they need to win, because right now it's, of course, OL at one and PSG at two, 3 points separating these two teams in the standings. So PSG will not only need to get the job done on their end and win some games, but Lyon will have to maybe drop some points along the way. So we'll see what happens there. Maybe we'll do have a different news and notes segment and we'll be talking about PSG winning another title of their own. But let's close out with some NWSL news. We wanted to touch about another epic crowd. We were just talking about the FA Cup, but coming out of week seven, in the midst of the ongoing regular season, Kansas City Current making and setting a new home record of 12,969,000 fans in attendance. You love to see it. Unfortunately, we had recapped this game. They had dropped the result to San Diego. Mm-hmm. It was a 2-1 loss. But maybe they're looking at this as a little bit of a different win for Current. They're doing this in Children's Mercy Park. They're the home of Sporting KC. So I'm sure they'll like to try to ride this type of momentum and this type of energy and enthusiasm into their home stadium when they eventually have their first home game there.
For sure. Yeah. This record of over 12,000, nearly 13,000 fans, smashed the record that was before it, about 10,300 fans. That was in 2022 against Angel City. This one for KC at home on Mother's Day. This was the Sunday match for the KC Current against San Diego. And the fact that, as you just touched on, Sandra, the Current's able to do this in Children's Mercy Park, which is SKC's home field, when they have their very own facility being built on the riverfront. I had the pleasure of being in Kansas City last week, and the stadium is there. Like, it looks like a stadium. The seats are in, the steel beams are up, and they've got a stadium coming right on the riverfront. It is gorgeous, and that's what this team hopes to do. They're trying to pack Children's Mercy Park this year. That way they can just pack the riverfront when it opens at the start of next year. And all those fans are already invested in this team. So if you haven't been yet to a home NWSL game, no matter where you are in the country, get out there. There's plenty of opportunities. We got regular season, Challenge Cup action, midweek action, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, whatever you want. There's a game for you out there. So go buy tickets and be there, because that's how you support the team and that's how you support the future of this league and the continued growth of it. Get out to a game for sure.
Hashtag go to games. The go to games contingent is stronger than ever. So go to them if you get a chance. We've got NWSL action to talk about. We want to preview the Challenge Cup coming up tomorrow. So stick with us after a quick break.
It's the NFL offseason, but on Pick Six, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, the football season never stops. Host Will Brinson, John Breach, and Tyler Sullivan are joined by analysts like Brady Quinn, Leslie Deuceable, Katie Mox, and RJ White to keep you in the loop on everything happening around the league. Whether it's free agents signing with new teams, the all-important NFL draft, or schedule release day, Pick Six has you covered. As the face of the league changes with every team move and player pickup this spring, Pick Six is a must listen. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and anywhere podcasts are found.
This is Tony Kornheiser's show. I'm Tony. You expected someone else? So what exactly is the show about? I don't know. It's a sports show nominally. Football's over, but we're finally at a point where things matter in college basketball, and baseball season is on deck. Greatest three words in the English language, pitchers and catchers. We have some of the best voices come on and explain what matters or what makes an upset, like Ryan does, 9-8. No, that's not an upset. No, yeah, it is, Bob. And if you're lucky, I might just tell you about my search for discounted sleep pants or my worries about what my dog just ate. Listen on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. Let's shed all things Challenge Cup. We've got Racing Louisville FC versus Kansas City Current in a Central Region matchup. This one kicking off at 6:30 p.m. Eastern in Kentucky. You can go ahead and watch some Paramount Plus. You can catch it on CBS Sports Go Lasso Network as well for free. So make sure you tune in to the game because this is going to be Racing Louisville's first. You heard it here. First Challenge Cup game. They're just fine. They're just getting, you know, for a team called Racing, they're getting in late into the race in this one.
Oh, I like it. I like it, Sandra. I mean,
I love a pun.
Very cheesy, but love, I appreciate it. I appreciate the effort.
Thank
yes.
You. Appreciate it.
A late start for Racing Louisville getting into the Challenge Cup in this midweek action. And meanwhile, for Kansas City, they've played one. They beat Houston Dash in the first week, and then Kansas City getting a little bit of a break. But that was Kansas City's first ever win of the year. Yep. And now Racing Louisville, they're coming off their first ever win of the year in the regular season that happened last week. And Racing Louisville is kind of on this little bit of a turn and this little bit of a run right now. Can they keep it up? It's at home for Racing Louisville, which gives them, I think, a bit more of an advantage. No travel from the Friday or the Saturday weekend game that they just played into this weekend. Of course, the Challenge Cup is broken down into these like regional geographical areas. So honestly, not too much travel between both of these sides. But for this one, I like this battle. I'm interested to see what we're going to see from Kansas City side, because this is a Kansas City team that is coming off of a back-to-back loss that they struggled with. And in this most recent game for Kansas City against San Diego, it was at home. We just talked about the record attendance that they had there. But we saw a different formation from interim head coach Caroline Troublem lining up with a four back and then changing the midfield. And you and I talked about it in our recap of the weekend. I didn't love it for Kansas City. I think when you have players like Kate Delfava and Haley Mace that are not only racehorses and can just run the pitch up and down, they're good on both sides of the ball, defensively can make stops, and then can also provide to be a threat in the attacking end. That's what's worked really well for Kansas City. And they went away from that last week because they went to a four back. So Mace and Delfava didn't have as much freedom to explore and go down the pitch. So that was something that I think Kansas City struggled with. Now, they've gotten one game under their belt with that. Caroline Troublem talked about how she wanted to play with a four back. I wouldn't be surprised if we see that again in the midweek Challenge Cup, for them to get another run out there with the four back.
Yeah. No, I hear you. I think, look, that was a long time ago. It feels like at this point where we spoke about Kansas City in a news and notes segment, it was to talk about the dismissal of Matt Potter. And maybe sometimes when you have a jarring thing happen like that, it kind of is a springboard for some results for a team. And maybe what we are seeing is some of that energy kind of like wearing off a little bit. Like sometimes that former coach dismissal type of energy kind of wears off a little bit. And maybe this is the week where Troublem could try to reset some things for the team, like you mentioned, whether it's tactically or rotation, question mark. Because I think something that we need to talk a little bit too is the fact that what we could see midweek from these two teams in a Challenge Cup game, because they literally have a quick turnaround and face each other again in the regular season. So if we're like looking at a Challenge Cup game, if you're Troublem for the Current, if you're Bjorkagren for Racing, how much are you getting your team to buy into a midweek Challenge Cup game? I think if you're the Current, You've already got your hat in the race in this one. You've picked up 3 points in the Challenge Cup already. If you're racing, you're just getting into this. And it's not even that you're just getting into this as a central region team. You're literally just getting into this as a team, period, across the board in Challenge Cup. Every other single team, mm-hmm. whether it's an East, West, or Central region, have already had a game under their belt for Challenge Cup. For racing, this is their first. So do we see a ton of rotation for racing in this Challenge Cup game in order to look ahead to the regular season against Kansas City one more time on Saturday? Or do you think Bjork or Grandin Racing put all their eggs in this basket and say, we're going to go out there and get this game?
To be honest, I'm not sure. I think it's case by case, team by team, how much stock they're putting into the Challenge Cup matches. Now, as you talked about, Racing Louisville is a game behind the rest of their central region. I do think they want to pick up points. That could be a draw, though. This is so tough, right? Because you have this Challenge Cup game and then you have to go play them in regular season. And I think both of these teams are going to have a little bit more interest in winning the regular season at this point. Now, can you use this first game as like a trial run? No, I don't think we're going to see that. I think we're going to see different lineups, perhaps different stylistic things. Yeah. It's not going to be, if you watch Wednesday night's Challenge Cup game between Louisville and Kansas City, and then the weekend's regular season game between Louisville and Kansas City, they're going to be different matches. Yeah. That's just what I'm predicting. You don't want to show too much of your cards in this midweek game and still provide a little bit of a surprise on the weekend for your opposition.
I feel you. Okay, well, let me ask you this then. When we're looking at these two teams, who do you think has the deeper bench? We've been seeing lengthy injury reports for current. I don't anticipate that's
sorry that changing. Took me a whole 10 seconds.
No.
I was like, wait, all of a sudden.
You know why it takes you a whole 10 seconds? Because you're thinking, you're like, I know the current is that I have had a lengthy injury report, but it's like, what's going to happen week in and week out?
Are they finally going to get some of their players
back?
Are
we finally going to see Hamilton in a game like this?
She was available last week, right? She was available off the bench, I believe, for Kansas City, but we never got to see her in the game. For the first time, Hamilton was available as a substitute in the regular season last week.
Yeah.
Frankly, if you're working a player back into the mix, do you give her minutes in Challenge Cup or do you just let her rest? I mean, if we see Hamilton 10 minutes at the end of this game, like, I'm not expecting much.
Yeah, I'm very curious about what the concept of like player rotation is for Quablon versus Bjorkgren in a game like this, knowing they have another one against each other in the weekend that counts for the regular season. So, all right, let's lay it out, cards on the table. Let's make a pick. Let's make a prediction. Do you have a winner, a loser, or are you going to lean into the draw in this one?
Totally would not be surprised if this is a draw between KC and Racing Louisville in the midweek Challenge Cup, because I think they're going to put more cards, more eggs into the basket for the regular season. But the win that Racing Louisville is coming off of, 3-0 over Chicago in the regular season, Wang Shuang getting her first NWSL goal, Canoe doing big things in this match as well. I'm going to go with Racing Louisville in this one. If it's not a draw, right? I hate to put a qualifier on it. That's why I'm going to go with Louisville. But I mean, if it's a draw, I'm not going to be surprised. I think the other question mark is for Kansas City goalkeeper position.
Yep.
What are we going to see? It's been between Cassie Miller and AD Frange. Cassie Miller then let up a couple goals against Angel City. KC didn't pick up that win. So Schwablom went with AD Frange. AD Frange let up 2 goals against San Diego. Now what do we see in the midweek? I think that, like, frankly, for Kansas City, they're focused on that a little bit. Like, who's going to be the better goalkeeper week in and week out every single day in training? And that's who's perhaps going to get minutes.
I hear you on that. Maybe this is the game, like we've mentioned, maybe this is the game that Quablom uses to try to reset some tactics, and maybe this is a game that Louisville targets and feeds into with the momentum and the fact that it's their first Challenge Cup game. We saw a great game from Savannah DeMello and what she can bring for this team, you know, and I think if she gets another good start going for Racing Louisville. I think they take all 3 points in this one as well. So I'm also going Louisville in this one for a Challenge Cup. It'll be interesting to see what shakes out ahead of their regular season matchup on Saturday. But we'll make those picks at a later time this week. That's it for NWSL fixtures for this this midweek matchup. Only one Challenge Cup game this week. So we've got our pick. We're both going Louisville. It's always dangerous when we both go for the same team. So we'll see what happens there. Stick with us after a quick break. We've got some World Cup chatter to talk about.
New CBS Monday.
Federal agents.
Hands where we can see them.
NCIS Hawaii is back. About to set it up. New criminals to catch.
Armed robbery, aggravated assault, murder.
And new investigations to be solved.
These guys were good, but even masters make mistakes.
Vanessa Lachey and featuring LL Cool J.
Violin Island, you got it.
Welcome to paradise.
A new NCIS Hawaii, Monday, 10, 9 central on CBS and streaming on Paramount+.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
All right, we're back. We want to chat all things 2023 Women's World Cup. Lisa already put the teaser earlier in this episode, said we're 65 days away from the World Cup. We'll all be on Australia and New Zealand time this summer. It's going to be quite a ride. Let's have some fun with the World Cup roster stock watch. So we wanted to do things a little bit differently. Didn't want to come on here and just say, here is our mock roster, because that's a very popular thing to do in the build up to a World Cup. We wanted to have some different stretches and different things to talk about within the potential roster that we could see very soon, sometime in June, essentially. But last time we left this United States women's national team was in April, and it was billed as the final two friendlies against Ireland, as the final friendlies for the international team to get together before the official World Cup roster is named. Coming out of that pair of friendlies, Andonovski saying, we feel good, we feel ready. There's two groups of players. There are players that we're going to send them back to their clubs and say, hey, keep up your fitness, keep up your form. And there's other groups of players within a group that they're going to give specific instruction to, things that they can work on, that they are going to be looking at as a coaching staff through club play to continue to evaluate and rate whether or not these players will go to the World Cup. So we've got 7 weeks of regular season play, some Challenge Cup games sprinkled along the way. Let's talk about some players who are maybe trending up and trending down, even if they may be considered quote-unquote locks for this 2023 World Cup. We got to start with the defensive end of the pitch, of course. Lisa, let's talk about the goalkeepers. You know, for people who don't know, you can go on.com and read my stock watch already. I have my most recent one out there, and you can take a look at the players that I think are locks who are trending up and down. But let's talk a little bit about who's hot for the goalkeepers. So I think you and I are probably in agreement that there's three goalkeepers who will probably go to the World Cup. Mm-hmm. We've seen them throughout camps for an extended period of time over the course of, let's just say, the better part of the last year. We don't even have to go as far back as 2 years, but maybe the last year to 18 months, it's been Alyssa Nair, Casey Murphy, and Adriana French. In terms of who's trending up and who's trending down, what are you seeing for the goalkeepers at this moment?
Yeah, I think it's important to kind of look at them as a whole, as these goalkeepers. Yes, for sure, three of them going to be headed to Australia and New Zealand this summer. But I honestly, like, I'm not sure if like the three is actually even going to change at this point. Yeah. But kind of just putting that out there, I think Casey Murphy most recently trending up. for North Carolina Courage. She's coming off a big shutout win for the Courage this past weekend in the regular season. She's been a very consistent factor for North Carolina because although they haven't picked up points every single week in the regular season, she's been one that has been as consistent as can be for the North Carolina Courage side, despite them not being able to score enough goals, frankly. Casey Murphy, for me, trending up in this position. And honestly, I think that A.D. French and Alyssa Nair trending down. Mm-hmm. I mean, Alyssa Nair, for what it's worth, and with this Chicago Red Star side, has been struggling. Chicago has not been able to pick up points. They're at the bottom of the table. They're conceding goals. They have 18 goals against. That's the most in the league right now. And no, you can't just look at the goals against and blame it all on the goalkeeper, but there have been crucial mistakes that have been made by Alyssa Nair that concerns me a little bit in terms of the future of this roster and kind of going forward with the U.S. because Alyssa Nair was the number one goalkeeper up until I think the last several months, and maybe she still is, but Alyssa Nair's stock for me has been dropping with her play in the regular season and not being able to be as big of a brick wall as we've seen her be in the past.
Yeah, I don't think that's unfair to take a look at club form and say, hey, you know, like what's going on here. But I think you make an important note that it's a pretty much a team shape and team struggle that mm-hmm. Nair finds herself not only captaining, but seeing in front of her throughout these Red Stars matches. But I think at this point, in this stage in the game, if you're the national team technical staff and coach, you're continuing to check in with your goalkeeper and just sort of say, hey, like, just keep it up, you know, yep. Clock in, clock out, get your game and match minutes. Because I think if you're the number one goalkeeper for not only the last cycle, but the last years in between leading up to this next World Cup, you're not trying to have your number one have any other mental struggles, because it's clear, right. It's clear that there's already some club struggles going that they're having to face as well. But I mean, you know, we're looking at this trio that we think are going to go to the World Cup, and Adrianna French has had to deal with some rotation out of Kansas City Current. This is a player that we think is going to be on that plane to Australia. But when Kansas City kind of went ahead and went on that winning streak that started with Challenge Cup, it came with a goalkeeping change from Carolyn Quablon for the Current. And she has said there's competition at the goalkeeping position, and we are happy. That's a good problem. We want to continue to see and reward good performances. And we got to see A.D. French back in net after a tough loss. And so she goes in there against San Diego. And unfortunately, the team drops this result against San Diego 2-0. Now, we're looking at a lot of new names in that Kansas City team. And maybe some of the defensive issues are, you know, lack of chemistry or lack of time together. You know, like, what are we taking a look at here? And why are these, you know, how and why these goals are being conceded? But that's another player I think that you could look at as maybe kind of trending down in terms of just lack of play. And then when we're getting to see French in these roles, unfortunately, you know, on the losing end of these things. It's curious because it's like, if we're looking at club play specifically, and we could talk about stock up. I mean, we talk about Aubrey Kingsbury with Washington Spirit, although I don't necessarily believe that she's going to have enough here to make a case for the World Cup, unfortunately, because this player, despite the good club play through 7 weeks at this point, has not been a part of the national team picture since 2021, I believe.
Yeah.
It's too much time removed, I feel like.
Yeah, I think she got one cap in 2022 at the very beginning of the year, very early. But yeah, I think that although Kingsbury has been playing so well in club and Washington Spirit now at the top of the table, and she's been very sound defensively, I think she lacks experience to get, I mean, this is a World Cup roster we're talking about. Like, we are 65 days out. It is make or break at this point. And I just don't think she has enough experience to make this World Cup roster. If this was a year ago, for sure, Kingsbury would be called in. Let's get her more experience, get her more caps, time with the training team, in training and in friendlies. But the fact that there is one more send-off game for the United States before the World Cup, in which the roster will have already been made. You don't want to bring a goalkeeper in that just has one cap under her belt, despite how good Kingsbury is doing at this point. Which, I mean, it's puts Vlatko Andonovski into a little bit of a tough position. I'm sure he's having conversations with these goalkeepers and saying like, hey guys, like, we're watching you, like, what's going on? Can we pick this up a little bit for sure?
Yeah, no, I hear you on that. I mean, it's a struggle because it's, again, it's not like she hasn't, Kingsbury hasn't been called up under Andonovski. And it's curious to sort of see like all of this incredible hot streak that she's on right now with the Spirit, because it was her club performance in 2021 when they went all the way to the championship final that earned her those looks in the national team camps. But then, again, through club play, France with an incredible run with the current in 2022, got called in. It's the ebbs and flows of everything. So I'm very curious about what we could see at that number three position. Although I think at this point, due to consistency, I think we're going to see Nate or Murphy in France.
At this point, experience outweighs some of the other factors in it.
Yeah. And France, again, was part of that. Yeah. Neyer and France are the two goalkeepers who were part of that 2019 World Cup roster as well. So you want to have players who know what to expect when they have to navigate group stages and knockout rounds and things like that. Let's keep it on the defensive end of the pitch here. We want to talk about Stockwatch for United States women's national team defenders. Defenders who we think are going to be locks going into the World Cup. Honestly, I think at this point, I thought I had locks for defenders, Lisa, but now I'm like, IDK, what's going on here? What are we looking at? What are we seeing? I think Becky Sauerbrunn, we've seen her out with an injury, and obviously I think that's more precautionary than anything else. This is a player that you would consider a lock for your defensive side of things. I would maybe say Alana Cook, because she's been like the healthiest center back option throughout Andonovski's national team camps, while there was so much injury rotation that was taking place for the central defender role. It's how we got to see the introduction of Naomi Girma into these consistent camps. Maybe she's a lock as well. I hate to even say it like this because she is performing phenomenally with club. At midfield in Portland, Crystal Dunn is a lock on this roster, unfortunately, probably as a defender, although, again, I think maybe she's making her case over 7 weeks playing higher up the pitch, but I think we've seen her at left back for so long and pigeonholed into this one side of the pitch that the staff might not want to shake things up on the defensive side of things, because I feel like this maybe this was a core of players, Lisa, where we thought there were like it was easy to pick some locks. And now with club play out of, you know, from April through May now, we've got some players who are trending up and trending down. I mean, I haven't even mentioned Emily Sonnet yet, who has, again, typically been one of these players as part of the defender core. And I would consider her stock down because she's not even playing on a back line with club right now. She's featured as a midfielder with Laura Harvey and Noel Rain.
I agree. I think it's very, if you're Vlatko Andonovski and you're looking to assess your defenders and one of those being Emily Sonnet, who I don't think is a lock on this roster by any means, and she's not even playing in the position you want her to play in, well, from what we know, in the back line with O.L. Rain and Laura Harvey, it's a bit of a question mark. But in terms of some of your other locks that you threw out there, yes, Alana Cook, I think that there's just been a lot of investment into her as a player, and you know that you can lean on her in these situations. Crystal Dunn, Becky Sauerbrunn, to me, Naomi Girma is a lock, despite maybe Not as strong of performances with San Diego as we've seen in the past, but I still think she's an incredible defender. Even though San Diego has gone through some ups and downs, you have to look at the individual skill of a player and perhaps this adversity that Gurman's going through right now with San Diego, finally getting back on the winning side of things just this past weekend will help a player like that. To me, Naomi Gurman and Becky Sauerbrunn are like the locks for center back start at the World Cup. I also think Emily Fox is a lock.
Doing well.
Is doing well. Stock up at this point. I think she's going to the World Cup too. I really do. And the way that she's been able to play at North Carolina under a new system with a new team and still be able to succeed and contribute into the attack and be a lockdown 1v1 defender, it's been very impressive to watch Emily Fox throughout this year. Stock up for her in that sense.
We're talking defenders. Okay. And we've touched on Sauerbrunn as a veteran.
Yeah.
So I want to ask you about Kelly O'Hara.
Kelly. Yeah, that was my next one. She's dealing with injury.
Yeah.
She has been, but feels like her whole life. And that sucks.
Yeah.
However, it's the reality of the situation with a veteran player like that. I think she's still like, I don't mean this in the way that it's going to sound, but she's still like a good fallback for Vlach Wenonowski. That
it's a player for a coaching staff that they know what they're getting in.
You know what you're going to get. And despite that she is injury prone and she does have significant injuries that can creep up and maybe not give you a full 90 minutes. You still know what you're going to get from her when she's on the pitch. And I think her play with Gotham when she's healthy and when she's able to be out there has been good. Despite her coming back from injury.
I think club play is something that they wanted this player to make sure that they got, you know, that she got back into form. And I think when we're looking at some of the veterans on this team, whether it's a Sauerbrunn or Megan Rapinoe or in this case, Kelly O'Hara, like we've seen the minutes kind of expand a little bit for O'Hara over her time with Gotham FC. So those early matches, like 45 minutes, maybe an hour, but then we've started to see that balloon to like 80 plus minutes, 90 plus minutes. And now we've got some fluctuating where we see like 25 minutes, 90 minutes,
55,
an hour. Yeah. We just saw the last game at 55 minutes. So it's like, it's kind of like up and down a little bit. So I'm with you. I don't think that's an unfair statement to say. I think maybe with this player, maybe she is considered a lock if she's able to get consistent minutes, especially considering her background with this team and her evolution within this team.
Yeah.
That this is a player that the coaching staff takes.
So Kelly O'Hara, you're asking me the hard questions. I want to ask some hard questions here because one player that I've got circled with some question marks around their name, Tierna Davidson.
Yeah.
Big question marks for me around this player coming back from her ACL injury and playing very significant minutes with Chicago Red Stars, but she doesn't look like the Tierna Davidson of years past. She just doesn't. What are your thoughts on Davidson and stock at this point and U.S. roster?
I think if you're looking just at club play and you're looking at the results and what we're seeing out of Chicago, I think this is a player that people would look at and say, well, this is a player who's trending down.
Yeah.
I think that there's always more to players who are coming back from such a significant injury. I think with Tierna Davidson being as gone and out and unavailable for as long as she was in her return to play from an ACL injury, that's not a little insignificant injury, right? That's often a lengthy injury. We're talking 9 months minimum, and that's not if you've got setbacks or otherwise. But the one silver lining within this return of Davidson is that it looks like she's physically at a place where she's capable to play. She's getting regular starts.
Yeah.
She's putting together 90-minute shifts. She's getting them with the number one goalkeeper in Alyssa Nair. But the other component that often comes, the other piece that comes with a significant injury and return to play like this is the mental component.
Totally.
I just don't know if being on a club team right now in Chicago is helping that component for a player like Davidson. If part of the mental side of the game is getting up on a match day, knowing you're going to go out there and constantly be overloaded. And
yeah.
Constantly.
Drowning.
Drowning. Literally. So I think the mental side of it drops a little bit. So.
I also think her performance has been questionable at times, right? I don't think it's her fitness, and I don't think it's honestly, it's more just when you're coming back from such a long, devastating injury, your brain is up to speed, you're ready to go, you know what your body wants to do, but sometimes your body just can't do it, whether it's her quick twitch muscles that are giving her that acceleration and that explosive speed, or her ability to cut as quickly and as smoothly and as efficiently as she was doing a year ago, or 2 years ago, rather. It's not there at that point.
And we see that. I think we see that sometimes with players who are coming back from an ACL. There's different phases and different components in coming back from an injury like that. And one part of it is the physical side of that, which we both agree that's not the issue. She's getting starts. She can physically play 90 minutes. And one of those phases and components is the mental side of things. And maybe those two things just aren't connecting right now, which is unfortunate because we've seen Tierna Davidson on for club or for national team, and you know who she is and what she can bring to the pitch. It's also unfortunate that her return, really didn't come into play until that final international match in that camp against Ireland, where she kind of saw limited minutes there as well. So there just wasn't enough time to really get her into a actual competitive match, even though she had spent some time in national team camp. So we'll see. We'll definitely see what happens there. I think we're talking 65 days at this point from the World Cup. There's still some games to play. But I think when you're looking at this defender side of things, maybe you've got a starter for every single slot in the back. And then really what's up for grabs is perhaps those depth roles. And that's where you have those conversations about a Sonnet or a Davidson or even a Sofia Huerta or a Casey Kruger, even at this point. I think there would be folks out there who would venture to argue that Kruger is having the better defensive season in Chicago versus Davidson. So it's going to be interesting to see how things get laid out and what the coaching staff evaluates or values taking to the World Cup versus leaving some players off and leaving them at home. Let's start getting into higher up the pitch here. Let's talk about some midfielders because while we're talking about the stock watch and who's trending up and who's trending down, part of this, like that we've touched on with the goalkeepers and defenders already, is lack of minutes that we've seen for some midfielders. So while we would typically have our locks, it's safe. I don't want to speak for both of us, but I feel safe in saying that we both agree, like a Lindsey Horan is going to the World Cup, Andy Sullivan going to the World Cup, but we haven't seen a lot of minutes from Roosevelt. And despite us not seeing minutes from Roosevelt in the regular season for quite some time, I still think she's a lock to go. I really do.
I do as well. I think Rose Lavelle is a lock for the World Cup. Honestly, the way that it's going, the last time we saw her play was actually with the U.S., right?
Yeah.
And then it was announced that she wasn't going to play in the second game against Ireland, right? Ireland? Yeah. Okay. So she played in the first game, and then we were like, okay, she's not going to play in the second. It's a very small injury. We're just precautionary. She's not going to play. And then since being back with OL Reign, we have not seen Rose Lavelle get time and minutes, and there's also been no word about what's happening. Is it what's happening? How injured is she? What actually does that mean? Is she training? But for me, I think it's all precautionary. I don't think it's anything that dire. It's more like, Rose, your plane ticket's been booked for a while now. Let's just keep you in a bubble.
It's so true.
That way you don't get yourself hurt. Frankly, that's what it is, which, that's how it goes sometimes when you have players that are as influential and as important as someone like a Rose Lavelle that's going to the World Cup. In terms of other midfielders, stock up for me, Ashley freaking Sanchez 100%. All the way.
Yes.
100%. Like, that is it. She has just been phenomenal with Washington Spirit in the midfield. She has just found her rhythm and is growing with confidence and consistency week in and week out with the Spirit. She's shooting with both feet. She's getting open looks. She's scoring goals. She's making heads up plays. She's defensively putting in a lot of good work off the ball as well. Really, really tremendous to see Ashley Sanchez. It's maybe some of these bubble players that are bubble players in their mind, are making more and more of an effort during this regular season. I think Sanchez is one that thought, I'm not a lock for the World Cup. And not only do I want to be a lock, I want to be a starter. I want to force him to put me on the bench and say, we need as many minutes from Sanchez as possible. And that's what she's giving right now. Huge stock up for Ashley Sanchez.
Absolutely. I'm with you. I had her on my stock watch for .com recently after 6 weeks of play. I featured her on our NWSL Star Player Index. You can go check that out on .com as well. Players who are generating buzz throughout the league. And Ashley Sanchez is absolutely one of them.
Totally.
I think it's very helpful. Yes, of course, it's helpful that she's playing alongside some other great attacking players, but she's 100% a player, I think, who was tasked with a certain level of things as they returned back to club, and she's 100% delivering on those. I mean, in terms of other players who are doing well with club and continuing to maybe really kind of sign their name on that roster sheet is probably Christy Mewis. I would have considered her a lock. I would have considered her a lock even before Gotham's really good start here, but as they continue to grow over the course of the regular season, I think she has just shown through club play once again what she can provide for this team in the midfield in case they need to call on her number. I mean, Julie Ertz back with Angel City, she's getting more games under her belt and looking like a player who's building in.
Is Julie Ertz a lock?
Yeah, absolutely. Julie Ertz is a lock. I don't think they have Julie Ertz in that final April camp, and I don't think Julie Ertz signs with the club team if there's not a real shot at making a World Cup roster.
Now, with Julie Ertz, I agree. Put that out there. I agree. I think she is a lock. But is it at all concerning that there were two back-to-back matches, one Challenge Cup, one regular season, where she had excused absences with Angel City? She did not play. Now she's back. She played this past weekend with Angel City. But is that at all a concern about priorities or things like that? I know there was some questions out there on the inner space.
Concerning to the coaching staffs? Probably not. Eyebrow raising to fans? Yeah, I'm sure. With all of the emphasis that's placed on club play and the ongoing conversation around, you know, need for minutes and need for games. I think the assumption that people operate off of that is, hey, here are the games, go play them. Mm-hmm. Perception is reality for a lot of people. And when there's a player who's made their return under all of those previous circumstances that were just talked about, to have a couple excused absences, I think some folks are kind of like, well, what's the deal here? But I think is it a concern for the coaching staffs on either club or country? Absolutely not. They're probably like, you know what? That makes sense. You had this on your radar before you even signed this contract.
Yeah.
Here's your excused absence.
Totally.
It's all good. So those are things, you know, I think that one of them was tied to their nonprofit organization, the Ertz Foundation. And those are things that are scheduled in far in advance. Yes. And, you know, I think we both agree that Ertz is a lock for this roster. Yep. And let's say there were a dozen games available for Angel City leading up to the World Cup. And let's just say if Julie Ertz even plays 6 to 8 of those, that is enough.
Yeah,
for the coaching staff.
I agree. I agree with you on that one, Ertz, as well. Jumping back, I know you mentioned Christy Mewis with Gotham. This is a player that I was not too high on at the start of the season. Just like with what she's been able to do and kind of getting back into the roster, it was always kind of a little bit anticlimactic watching a Christy Mewis play for me. Now seeing her with Gotham, and we'll get to the forward crew, but the play that Christy Mewis has been able to do in the midfield, specifically linking up with the forwards on Gotham, Lynn Williams specifically, has been tremendous. It's been really fun to watch Christy Mewis, who struggled last year with Gotham in the midfield due to a number of different things, formation, tactics, the team overall. And this year has really decided to turn things around the way that Christy Mewis can, right? Doing everything she can in her power to turn it around. Stock up for me on Christy Mewis at this point.
Yeah, absolutely. I think players again, we're talking about lack of minutes. I think that's kind of a common thread here for players whose stock might be down. I think we're obviously looking at Taylor Kornick, who has not been able to get a lot of games in with San Diego Wave. I believe it's due to an abdomen issue at this point that we're seeing. And Katerin Macario, another player trying to make her return back from a lengthy ACL injury. I think when she first suffered this injury, there was a lot of optimism in terms of her early recovery. But I think in terms of where we're seeing her now, somewhere along the way, there was probably a setback. And we are now talking about a player with Olympique Lyon that has two games left in their season. In order for them to get some match minutes. I'm high on Macario. She's a player that I enjoy watching play when she's, you know, fit and healthy. And I think she is one of those players that you look at as a future generational player. I think we can't say that right now just because we only saw her for a short chunk of minutes in the Olympics, but then she went on and did what she did with OL. I mean, she's won a Champions League, she's won titles with them already, a leading goal scorer at one point, and then suffered this terrible ACL injury. And now it looks like because of this, she could miss out on this upcoming World Cup. And she's a player that I'm like, if she's even like, you know, yeah, I look at Macario as a player, like she can run, you take her, but the games aren't there in front of her, so we don't even really know what that looks like.
Right, and maybe she is training, right? We heard that from Julie Ertz before she came back. She was training with MLS Academy teams, but Blacko was like, hey, you've got to get minutes with the club. You got to sign. And now when we look at Katerina Macario, 65 days out from the start of the World Cup, and there's nothing on her radar, nothing on the schedule coming up for her to play. She's not signed with the team. Her club season is done in Europe. What's going to happen? It is unlikely to me, unless something changes, unless something's happening behind the scenes, that Macario is going to the World Cup.
Yeah, I hate it. I'm sad about it. I'm not even going to try. Yeah, let's talk about the forwards now.
Quickly, move on. Move on.
I can't talk about it. It makes me too sad. I want to move on. Let's talk about the forwards. Let's close out this episode with the attackers. We've got forwards who we think we are going to be locks for this World Cup. I think Sophia Smith is a lock for this World Cup. Alex Morgan is a lock for this World Cup. I think Lynn Williams should be a lock for this World Cup. I think Trinity Rodman should be a lock for this World Cup. And if she continues to get her minutes, knowing what we've heard from the U.S. coaching staff already, Megan Rapinoe is probably a lock for this World Cup.
Yeah, I agree. I think Megan Rapinoe is going to the World Cup to be a role player. Doubt she will ever start a game. Doubt she will get more than 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. I don't know, kind of going out on a limb here. But she will be a role player, come in at the end of games, be a training player, be a training room player, be a locker room player, a bench player. And understand her role in this World Cup is exactly that. And to have her kind of turn the page on that and understand her role and be able to live it truly is going to help this team 100%. Yeah. So I think if everyone's on the same page there, it's a lock for Rapinoe to be there. As you mentioned, Smith, Williams, Rodman, a couple other players.
And those are two players trending up, Williams and Rodman.
Rodman, incredibly high trend right now for me. Stock up for Rodman. The work that she is doing off the ball has been tremendous. Her defensive work, the mileage that she puts in off the ball, her ability to score goals and play in those wide areas, cut inside. She's playing with the maturity of a 7 or 8 year veteran in this league, and she's only 20 years old. So fun to watch Rodman. Lynn Williams also stock incredibly high. Watching her create something out of nothing with Gotham FC, she has just been tremendous for this team. She's got 6 goals for Gotham in the first 9 games across all competitions. And she started the year with the United States getting a goal after that long 10-month absence. And her off-the-ball work is impressive. Imagine like a U.S. team with Lynn Williams and Trinity Rodman off-ball press.
I'm smiling.
Counter press. Like,
people who aren't watching us live, I'm just smiling ear to ear.
Tremendous, tremendous. Someone else that I think that has been on the bubble of this roster. However, I believe that her stock is rising, Ashley Hatch.
Yeah.
This is a forward that has been in and out of the U.S. roster and called up. Most recently was called up for the most recent April friendlies. And it was almost like she wasn't getting enough time. Is she going to get enough minutes? What's going to be the role for Hatch? And her performance with Washington Spirit has been tremendous, whether it's scoring in the run of play, her vision on the ball, her penalty kick goals. She's proved that she's doing something right. And perhaps what the coaching staff has asked of her with Washington Spirit trending very, very high for me. Stock is up for Ashley Hatch.
No, I hear you on that. Look, it's hard to ignore what many of the Spirit attackers are doing right now for club. I think Hatch and her inclusion on national team rosters has really been predicated on what she can provide as a secondary central forward. And I think that's been the struggle that we've seen sometime over the course of these national team camps. Can she turn it on when you're coming off of the bench, when you don't have a 90-minute game in front of you to build over? Are you able to get in there and make an impact in 20 minutes? And maybe there were some question marks there coming out of that final April window, but there is no questions about what she's doing for club. She's performing well alongside her other national team teammates. And perhaps that will be a factor that coaching staffs look at as well. Who has the chemistry with each other? Who's, you know, which players are familiar with each other and the movement on the pitch, et cetera, et cetera. I think we also have to include Alyssa Thompson in this conversation.
Totally.
This was the player that was brought in light of Mallory Swanson's patella tendon injury. We didn't have Mal listed as a lock for this one because of the lengthy amount of time that that type of surgery and recovery requires, but they already had a protocol in place. They had Alyssa Thompson on a plane ready to come on in to this national team camp against Ireland. And she's making an early case, not only for the plane to Australia, but really for Rookie of the Year in NWSL play with Angel City. She's got 4 goals already across all competitions. Absolutely just a menace on the pitch when it comes to getting on the ball and directly attacking back lines. Yeah. I would say the stock is up for this player. I just don't know who gets left off if they decide there's enough here to bring a very young player to the World Cup.
I mean, I think she's making a case for herself. She's already got called up. She's already got capped. She's already got a goal, right? Like, I think that she's on the plane. At this point, Alyssa Thompson's on the plane because her stock.
I mean, we're making the roster, Alyssa Thompson. For sure. On the plane.
But just because her stock is so high right now, and frankly, there's some stock down of other players that have been called in. I think you look at one Midge Purse, forward for Gotham.
Yeah, no minutes right now.
In and out of the U.S. roster call-ups, was in for a while and then out and then back in at the end of things. And she's been dealing with a hip injury and has not gotten minutes for Gotham. And just lack of minutes and injury-wise, stock down for Purse. Unfortunately, I just don't think that with 65 days left, she would have to push someone out of that position.
Injuries suck, man. Like, because I think we saw really early on too, like these glimpses of really good connectivity between Williams and Purse as well. Yeah. And thinking like, wow, like what are we about to start seeing here with between Mewis and Williams and Purse? And, you know, unfortunately we've got a few weeks now with Purse unavailable for Gotham FC games with a hip injury. So we'll see.
And still no Kristen Press getting minutes, training, anything with it, with that, just kind of putting that out there. I know people in our chat asking about Press and what's happening there. Remember, she had to get another surgery a few months ago. So, I mean, injuries suck, right? Yeah. So unlikely that we will see Kristen Press at the World Cup as well for the United States. Just really crappy around them.
There's a ton of players, I think, when we look back at this and this entire stock watch, where we're just looking at and injury and time are part of that equation, where it's just the return to play has taken the amount of time that it's needed, but the time and the build up to the World Cup is just running out. So it's just just a really kind of sucky component to just had to have discussed throughout this entire stock watch. But I'm sure we'll look.
Maybe and Alex Morgan. We didn't even mention Alex Morgan, right? She's a lock for this.
I mean, I said she was a lock early on, okay. But I mean, we didn't mention why. I mean,
lock.
Alex Morgan is a lock because she's A, she's Alex Morgan, and B, she's been in good form from last season into this season. So she's on the plane. Yeah, I said early on that my
lock are
Morgan Rapinoe as the vets, Williams, Rodman would be a lock for me at this point, Smith at this point. And then maybe there's a case for Thompson or a case for Hatch. It just depends on who staff, what the staff values and who and what they want to bring. But
I'm right there with you on those locks for sure.
We'll see. It's 65 days, but there's still time for us to do another one of these. If folks have enjoyed it, there's still some games in NWSL that will take place that can maybe dictate some things. Let us know if you enjoy the stock watch. We'll do more of these if you like them. But that's all we've got today. That's a wrap for A3. Thank you all for listening to Attacking Third and joining us live this morning. Download, follow, and listen to us anywhere you get your podcast. Leave us a rating and review. That stuff helps us out so much. You can also watch us, subscribe to us on YouTube at youtube.com/attacking third. You'll get alerts so that you'll know whenever we go live. And Lisa and I will be back with more NWSL content for you all. So make sure you stay tuned. For Sandra and Lisa Roman, this was Attacking Third.
New CBS Monday.
NCIS! Here's where we can see them!
NCIS and NCIS Hawaii return with all new cases.
Double tap to the chest, one to the head.
These guys are professionals.
All new criminals.
Violent Island, we got here.
Welcome to paradise.
And all new crimes to be solved.
If you're watching this, I've been arrested.
What are the charges?
Just one. Murder.
New NCIS and NCIS Hawaii. Monday, starting at 9/8 Central. On CBS and streaming on Paramount+.